Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and our special guest for the next two radio shows is Tony Alvarez, good friend of mine over the years. Really has accomplished an awful lot, and he wears a lot of hats. He's a buy-sell, he's a landlord, and he's an REO mentor, author, and really quite an addition to our industry, to be honest with you. I was so excited that I talked him into speaking the first time years ago. So, Tony, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for also being willing to share, you know, all the stuff that you know. A lot of people would not do that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I've never looked at the stuff as, you know, I don't identify with it. It's not who Tony is. So it's just something I do, you know, and I followed the rules and it works. And I think it's, I don't make anything more than that of it.
A lot of people though, if they have something that's working for them, they don't want to share it.
Well, no, I had that experience. You know, it's one of the things that I decided to do that I really enjoy is to do interviews, just to interview other successful people, you know. So this year I did a little bit more of that for, because we put together a little investor club in our market up in Palmdale and in the Antelope Valley. And so I got to go out and do that. And I actually had a kind of a weird experience. I had a couple fellers, I'm not going to mention them by name, but that I met at your event that you did, you know, about the market. I always forget the name of it. It's the big event you did about the market.
California comeback one last year.
Yeah, exactly. So I met them there, and they came up wanting to know about, you know, more about working with agents and stuff. So I actually gave them a copy of the books, you know. And they were up in the Fresno market, and I said, I'm going to shoot up there. I'd like to interview. Oh, we'd love it, you know. So we get in the car, you know, I make the time. I drove up there, you know, and I get up there, and they had a change of heart somehow, but neglected to say anything to me. Waited till I got up there, and I hit a wall of fear as soon as I walked in, and I said, well, what exactly are you afraid of, man? Well, you know that somebody's going to find out what we're doing, and you know they're going to duplicate it, and they cited a couple of examples of people that they had, you know, shared what they do, you know, and I said, well, what is it that you do that's so proprietary, you know? And I said, who did you learn it from? Well, we took something from Ward Hannigan, you know. And I just but fell over, you know. I said, you guys think you invented that? I mean, buying at the trustee sales or whatever, you know. I mean, it was kind of funny. So I stopped immediately. I said, I think we'll stop. We won't do this interview today. I'll come back in about 5 or 6 years when you guys get over it. And maybe we can talk then, because investors do go through a maturing process. And most of those fears will eventually disappear when you wake up and realize that it's really about your efforts. I mean, you could tell anybody what you do. If they don't have the desire and, you know, what the fight within them to get up and do the steps, it just never happens, you know.
Well, what's interesting about your approach, when you're dealing with REOs, you're really trying to build an aura of when something good comes along, the name that goes off in their head is Tony. Well, there's a whole other group of investors that flip properties that, that's not a bad thing either. In other words, if your name is on top of their list, you'll get a call.
Yeah, yeah. And quite frankly, Bruce, over time, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from these guys up in Fresno, because basically I probably had somewhat the same mentality, although I honestly, I don't remember ever being afraid of competition like that, you know. I focus most of my energies on my own efforts and my own actions, you know. But I always try, when I speak to anyone who asks me, you know, what should I do? What should I do to get started or increase my business? Like these guys, you know, they wanted to go beyond buying at the courthouse steps. And they started to wake up and realize, well, this is about relationships. You know, if you're in it long term, if you're in it short term and it's just a, you know, fast pop, you know, I want to get in, make some money while the market's low or whatever, or the market's appreciating, you know, there's different types in the cycle. then maybe you don't need to make relationships. In your mind, you don't see it as a real asset. But if you're building a business, if you really look at this as building a business, not just chasing deals, and that's the way I see it. Level one investing is all about chasing deals, and there's nothing wrong with that. We all do it, and we all get started there. But if you then you wake up and you go, wait a second, you know, sometimes the deals are abundant where you're chasing them, you know, like salmon. When the salmon run comes twice a year, there's nothing but salmon in the river. But when the salmon run is over, you don't want to be out there, you know, trying to catch a salmon because you're gonna be unhappy, right? So it's about building a business, right? So that takes relationships. That takes other people. You have to learn to respect the value of others to help you kind of get to where you want to go. You miss that point, I think you really missed the big picture.
It's interesting that people have different philosophies in what they're willing to share and how proprietary it is. But one of the things I was just talking to somebody, and they had made kind of someone that had mentored them had made a shift to being, he said, conducting their business more honorable. And I thought that was an interesting. Now that I'm rich, I don't have to be less honorable.
Yeah, it's funny that anybody would even see that as an actual choice that you have to make, you know.
I just thought that was a funny comment. Now that I've made it, I can be honorable. But I thought that was a good way to get there. I didn't make much comment on that, but I did think that was kind of funny.
No, and, you know, perception... We're ruled by emotions, right? But we see the world through our own perception and our own point of view based on our history and our own conditioning. People get comfortable in that. They never question their own perception. So they say, okay, these are the rules. Maybe that's what they experienced, you know, growing up or whatever. You know, you go out to buy a car. Your first experience buying a car is not a good one, let's say. You know, you run into somebody who really doesn't understand how to inform their customer to the point that they want to buy something as opposed to sell. You know, try to convince the guy, hey, you got to buy this car by pressure or whatever. So for the rest of your existence, unless you question it, you're going to think, oh, wow, dealing with a car salesman or even a used car salesman, oh, my God, I don't want to deal with that. I know what that's all about, you know. So those initial experiences, you just have to realize is for every different human being that does that job, whatever it is, car salesman, whatever, you have a whole different mentality. You have a whole different way of doing business. So if you never question that, if you never seek a different type of person or a different way of doing that, you know, you're actually paying the price of that limitation.
When you're in the education business, one of the things that comes up, it's that you could lay out the perfect day, you know, get in the morning and do this. But what gets in the way of people is their perception of themselves and what's kind of what you just
hit
on.
Yes.
So, okay, I am uncomfortable asking for the order, in essence, and making a low offer that leaves a profit.
Very much so.
What if their mental makeup is such that I really am kind of weak about that?
Right.
Then you all of a sudden you realize training is not just a methodology of what you do in the morning. It's like you have to start at the core of that person and go, okay.
Very true.
Wow.
Yeah, very true. And you know, when you first invited me to speak at the Millionaire Maker, you know, everything we do is a school, in essence. It's a lesson. It's a time to learn. If you're really open-minded and you really pay attention, it's just that a lot of us don't ask ourselves this kind of stuff. But I learned a lot about myself going through that process because I had zero confidence in myself, honest to goodness, about, you know, my first thought was, that's great. You wanted me to speak. My ego said, oh, great. He thinks you're great, right? And the next thing right behind it came, he doesn't have a clue that you're an idiot, okay? What are you going to tell these people, basically? Because I didn't really value, in a sense, what I had accomplished. I didn't see it as any big deal. It's just the result of doing a good job, you know? And so when I went up there, first break after I'm up there speaking, and I really, it was a metamorphosis for me that happened right in front of those people. Right in front of you. I know you paid attention because you knew what was going to happen. I had not a clue. You were way ahead of me on this. And then when I first break, we go to this man comes down and he travels all the way down the aisle up and he comes up to me. He goes, you know, I don't think I can do what you do. And I said, what do you think? I thought it was funny. You know, I said, what do you think I do? I just talk to people. He goes, yeah, I don't think that's going to work for me. And what it really was, and I went and studied this afterwards, what it really was is the same thing that I went through when you asked me to speak.
Right.
He didn't think anybody would want to hear him or like him. Now, that's an internal condition.
Yeah, and that's a pretty core belief.
Yeah, core belief, exactly. That, yeah. So, you know, and I remember what you did to me to shock me. I mean, this is 5 minutes before I'm ready to go on. I'm the last man after 3 days of real estate, guys. I feel like, what am I going to do, sweep up? I mean, there's nothing left for me to say to these people. And I said to you, the door's right there. I'm supposed to go in, you know. And I said, you know, I don't know if I can do this. What am I going to tell these people? And you looked at me and you very, very serious face. You changed your own demeanor a minute and you went, did you do this or not? I said, yes, I did. He goes, well, you plan on lying to anybody? And that shook me. You see, that to my core, you know, because that's a character trait now, you know. Now, lie? Why would I lie? There's no reason for me to lie. And you said, well, just get in there and tell them honestly what you did and get the heck off that stage. Well, you know, 4 hours later,
they wouldn't let you get.
Yeah,
off
they
the
wouldn't
stage.
Let me go, and some guy's begging to see if we can stay longer. You know, so that was that's a big moment.
That's the greatest reception I've ever seen of any speaker. But I knew it was going to happen. That's why I put you last. And I knew it's kind of funny how you can have your confidence in one area. Like if somebody said, well, you probably can't buy a property at a discount, you'd be going, give me till noon. Okay. But that doesn't always transfer to the new experience,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I knew that was going to happen, and it was so much fun to see. And I guess that I feel very fortunate that I sort of like our industry has you because of you watching me speak one time.
Yes, exactly.
And it's an interesting thing about why you even came up to me. And I guess that goes back to that other comment about, you know, there's no time like the present to start acting honorable.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, when I'm speaking, it was at the Apartment Owners Association.
Right.
Where like up in front of like 400 or 500 people, and then they did some Q&A. And you told me why you came up.
Yeah, the guy, I it's like I'm standing right. And every time I see you, I want you to know, my brain does weird stuff. Every time I see you, I'm brought back to that moment. And it's like a second, you know. The guy raises his hand and he says to you, you know, I'm an apartment owner. You're talking about single family market. How is that going to affect me? And there was a complete silence in the room. You know, you could hear a pin drop. And I'm waiting for this answer because I know my mind went to, this guy's going to do a song and dance up there, you know, and tell the guy, probably the same thing. Next question, you know. But you didn't do that. You stopped. You did a thing with your body motion that was like, you kind of like did a little, it's almost like in your own mind you went through, you know, okay, that's a question I didn't exactly maybe anticipate, and you chuckled a little bit, and you said, you know, I really don't know. I'm a single family guy, and I'm really not sure, but you know, I don't know what to tell you except for, you know, it could be the same thing, but I really can't say I know exactly what's going to happen to the apartment. And everybody kind of chuckled a little bit with you because it was There was a stress relief in that moment, but you told the truth. You went right. In my way of thinking, you crucified yourself. You were willing to do that, and the end result was completely different. You didn't have a bad moment. The truth actually raised you up above.
What was interesting about that, and this is why, you know, when you teach people and they go, okay, well, I don't have any real estate experience, to me that's so secondary to who you bring to the business, and it's the comment that I made at that Apartment Owners Association was so much easier to make because of my experience as an electrical salesperson. I went into, I'll use a lady's name, she's passed on, but it's one of my favorite moments ever in sales. Flora Spiegel owned a Corona Industrial Electric. She was mayor of Corona, and she had survived a prison, a war camp in Germany. And so she was a tough cookie.
Mm-hmm.
I had never met her and didn't know any of that about her. I just know she was at the counter of a Corona Industrial Electric. I came up and said, I'm Bruce from Jarvis Electric Supply. I'd like to quote you on some of your supplies. And she said, great. And she brings out a plan she could barely lift, and she plops it on the counter. It was for school. She said, I'd like you to do the switchgear takeoff. Well, you'd have to be a genius to do that. And without hesitation, I said, Mrs. Spiegel, I said, if I looked at it all week, you wouldn't be able to trust the takeoff I would do. She said, I'm so glad you said that, young man. She said, I can work with you. And we went in the back, and she ordered about $10,000 worth of stuff that know, and I never forgot that lesson ever, that I will, it's called looping. I will not loop. If I don't know, I'm not going to fake it. Because sometimes people are smarter than you. They're setting you up to see if you will loop. Right. And as soon as I had said, yeah, I'll take a look at it, Flora Spiegel would have put me in the trash can, right? And said, I will never trust that guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how people make decisions. And a lot of people that have, that could really benefit you, will run you through a character examination. And it happens just like that, because it has to be an honest person. In other words, I didn't hesitate to say I didn't know, because I didn't know.
Right.
And that's just my nature. I don't do that. But in that moment, you find out who you are.
No, I agree with you there. Absolutely. And I really, it's really not an effort to be the kind of person that most people want to love to work with. You know, they just want to love to work with you. They just want to be around you. It doesn't take a lot of effort. As a matter of fact, it takes a lot more effort to become someone who your mind tells you you need to become in order to take advantage of the situations and get ahead of everybody else and all that nonsense, which is really related to, in my opinion, and this is the way I see it, it's a competitive mindset. And there's, and competition, you know, there's places for it. It's obviously all throughout nature, and in the military and in war, and you know, and in sports, and it is what it is, you know. But what do you see in the grandest of sports figures? And if you look throughout history, what happens when that game is over? I mean, these guys got to embrace at some point. They respect each other, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not about name calling and that kind of stuff, you know. Whenever you see a sports figure, somebody do that, you just want to turn away, you know. It's just like, that's nonsense. I don't want to deal with that. But so I happen to respect, you know, Vince Lombardi, you know, guys like that, you know, that over time, where, I mean, they're hardcore, but they really respected, or learned, in his case, learned to respect all players, because he made some comments that on his deathbed, when he knew he was going to pass away, he said, he had made a comment about two teams enter the field at one time when he was younger. He said, listen, it comes down to this. Two teams enter the field, one walks off of victorious. We know what the other ones are. And at the end of his life, he said, if I have one thing I'd want to take back, was that statement. Because if you got to that field, you are victorious.
Yeah. You know, the Millionaire Maker was hand-selected for really very specific reasons, because I knew an audience was there going to relate to somebody, and yet those five very successful people all did it differently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
and
yes.
So you'd go, okay, could you be a Mike Cantu, or could you be a Tony Alvarez, or a Charles Harris, or a Jack Fullerton? You know, it's everybody did it their way and did it successfully. And I guess what I was trying to say to an audience, you're going to find that you're going to be a blend of, you're going to be an original.
Right.
But you're going to see five very different people have pulled off this business and created a life that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And that's what was fun with that, you know, is realizing that had actually happened.
No, listen, to bring us together the way you did, honestly, and I remember thinking, and I said exactly what I was thinking when I was on stage. I said, you know, I thought, I kind of had a feeling that you're a pretty smart guy, you know. But it didn't hit me until I was up there at the end of that whole presentation, that you were actually, in my mind, you were a genius. Because to bring together the people that you did, if I sat down and you said, well, I'm going to bring together these guys or whatever, I would have never expected the end result of what took place, because I left that place making friends with people that were strangers the day before. And we became tight. I mean, I'm close friends with Mikey. I met Mikey as a result of you. And I became, because of who he is, not what he does. I don't need anything that Mike, you know, I don't need to do a deal with Mike or any of that nonsense. You know, Jack, all these people, these are people that I learned to respect and fused with immediately. And went on to see some of those students, a lot of them that were that attended that place that didn't know the difference between the deed of trust and their birth certificate on that day, went on to make $1 million in the next year, 12 months later. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were folks that did it, you know, and they were, and some of them male, female, you know, some of them came from nowhere, had nothing to do with real estate. So that's powerful stuff. It's not just a, you know, conversation.
One of the, I guess, you know, we had Rudy during and that my favorite line in that movie, and I when I spoke on it that night, was when his dad is, you know, trying to talk some sense to him, right, to him as he's ready to get on the bus, and he's like, you know, Notre Dame is, you know, it's for rich kids, it's for smart kids, it's not for us, you know. He said, you can make a good living at the factory, and it was, you know, inside of Rudy was like,
yeah,
no, I'm not going to, you know, be constrained like that.
Yeah,
and to me that was. That was what that event was, and I'm glad we're going to do it again this year. And just trying to get a date right now to where you can participate, and Mike's going to be there. And I haven't really selected the other people because there's new people and there's new skills. But
that is just awesome. I want you to know. I mean, just the thought that you're going to do that again, because I just wanted you to do that every year. I just thought that if that was phenomenal, and I really. What impressed the heck out of me was the fact that they were all real people, all really in the business, all doing this thing. None of us were professional speakers in any way, shape, or form, but we all had a tremendous impact on that audience. I mean, it was just an amazing time.
And it was a collective too. I mean, it wasn't just one. It was everybody bringing their best.
Yeah.
And the intent being.
Listen, so. I learned more on that day from. I restructured everything I was doing from the things I took away from that thing. And I remember thinking after Mike was done, what's there to talk about? He's covered everything possible under the sun, you know. So you did something that was very special, and I don't think obviously the people that were not there in attendance didn't get it. You know, they didn't have the opportunity to really experience that. So doing that today, I think would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think that's the missing piece. Is there's lots of, okay, this is how you do a short sale and this is how you do an REO.
Yeah.
But then the same people keep pulling off getting the inventory, and it's because of who they bring to the business.
Exactly.
And that's the part that particular event that covers, and it's fun. There's a quote, you know, I pursued karate and it took a black belt test in October, and to be honest with you, I had the hardest time matching up black belt and Bruce Norris's name together.
Mm.
So, you know, despite the success in other things, that was one part of my life where I'm just like, that just doesn't go together. And my sensei gave me a book to read, and it was dealing with athletics, but it specifically made this comment: when you're an athlete and you are afraid, you play small. And I remember being irritated. I liked getting, whenever I get mad, I'm much better at goal setting. Okay. And that irritated me because I realized, okay, the one thing I promised myself is I will not leave that black belt test having played small.
Right.
And that's what people bring to this business sometimes. And you've gone over it. Last time I heard you speak, I was taking notes, and it's still fear.
Yeah.
There, and when you fear, you play small.
Right.
You don't ask for the stuff you need. And what you need is not unreasonable. In other words, okay, I'm going to reconstruct a house, basically run a construction crew, and I'm going to do it for free or a loss.
Yeah.
Why does that make more sense than the other side?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you'd almost like to turn the tables. He says, great. If I can make a commission handing you a loss, I'd like that side. Let's do that some. That'd be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been a heck of a ride for me in this business. I mean, I definitely have... I've experienced both. What do you call it? The agony of defeat.
And yeah. Well, you know. And you know, sometimes that sets up the best future. I think a lot of people have gone through the agony of defeat. When they get, let's say they got involved in 07, 09, you know, through 09,
yeah.
It was unavoidable, but that experience is investable.
Yeah.
In other words, next time around, you go, okay, I can see it coming, I can avoid it. And there's a lot of character building that could have gone on during it. You know, you've endured some things where you go, okay, fought through it. To me, that's part of what happens is you grow and go, okay, well, I just, you know, I found out what I'm made of.
I agree.
Well, Tony, thanks for joining us. And that was the quickest show ever. And we'll pick up on the next segment.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.